right, here we go. North Shore Sports Night. Live, I think.
Nelly.
There you go. No, it's Hayo Silva. Away! For the Speedy Lightning's Clash of Bullets and the American, well, I don't know. Anyway, I think we're live. Boy, is that music loud. Let me see if I can bring that down a tad here. Let me see if I can bring that down a tad. I guess I can't. What is going on? Right. All right, let's try that. Boy, this is so weird. I don't know what's going on. And you know, this would be the first time we've ever done this. I want to make sure this is good. You know what?
There you are. You're there.
I'm here, but I don't know what that bozo is going on. We had trouble with this. Actually, you and Marty had trouble with this computer on Saturday, and now I'm having trouble with it. Let me try this again. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Friday night, Monday night.
And the music's back with us.
The music should be back. I just don't want it too
maybe
loud.
Maybe we need the Lone Ranger.
I don't know. All right, so now we can turn the music off by doing that. Yeah, that's right. Okay, here we go. So we got a lot to talk about tonight and not a whole lot of time to do it, as you know, the playoffs are underway. The MIAA tournament is underway for all sports. And we hope to talk with Nick Kukru later on. Nick is covering, I believe it's Manchester Essex soccer tonight. Bill Newell getting a bunch of interviews as well, as he usually does. Now, tonight on North Shore Sports Night, by the way, I'm Rick Moore.
I had a couple.
Along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. You've got tonight's scores?
I had a couple.
For tonight. Let's hear them.
No. Well, 6-3.
Oh, there you go. Okay. You got some partials?
I have partials. About six.
Okay.
That's my partials. I get a bunch of interviews at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about today.
Oh, today. Oh, I interviewed Rachel Alexander, the Northeast Conference MVP for girls field hockey. And that's a video, and I'll load that up tonight when I get home, and you or Bill can fight over who's going to post it.
And they pulled a tremendous upset Friday night.
They just keep surprising more and more and more people.
Fantastic, as they beat Manchester Essex 2-1.
Yep.
And they will continue into the tournament. Tonight we'll talk mostly football, of course, although, as I said, we hope to have Nick on later on. We're going to swing around to some coaches that we haven't talked with very often this season for one reason or another. We'll start with Patrick Sheehan, who is the Triton football coach, and Triton won over the weekend.
Yes, they beat Bishop Fenwick 42-34.
Yep.
And as what Keith Jackson would say, we got a bomb burner going on here.
Oh, it's Keith Jackson, although yes, Arlen Ellison is the only thing we have close to that now. And then we'll talk with Bill Ricca, football coach Dwayne Sigsbury. And Bill Ricca will be hosting Beverly on Friday night. And, of course, Beverly, the big, big upset over Tewksbury. Talked with Coach Brian Elward last Saturday morning, as a matter of fact, and you were there for that game.
I was. Marty and I were as emotionally drained as anybody in the stadium. It was absolutely an incredible high school football game where two teams were determined not to break. They bent, and both teams just kept making stop after stop and making big plays. And it was like a heavyweight match standing in the middle of the ring, just laying haymakers at each other.
And Tewksbury, I haven't seen Tewksbury in the last 2 years, but we did the Gloucester game a couple of years ago. And what a program that Coach Elward has put together.
Boy, I'll tell you that his line had to average at least 6'2", probably average weight 190 to probably 210. His right defensive end had to be, I'm thinking 6'4", and probably a good 225, 230. And none of these kids were big, heavy kid. These guys were oak trees, were sequoias, and credit to the Beverly kids. They stayed low. They kept their technique. They didn't get up to where they could get pushed around. They stayed low. Were able to even to maintain their blocks, driving into the Tewksbury defenders' hips. They had been physically exhausted. In fact, I saw Mark Thomas yesterday. Well, I was out shopping in the morning, and he said it was such a quiet ride back. I think the entire team was just not only physically drained, but emotionally drained. And it was interviewing the kids after the game. You could hear it in the voice, and you can see it in their face just how much it actually took out of them throughout the course of the game. But what a great game. I mean, low score. No, as Marty said, we figured the scoring would be somewhere in the 30s, probably in the high 30s, because both teams could score. Luke Zampieri, you know, missed the first extra point. He missed the next field goal try. Then he comes back, and he nails two out of his three punts in the second half. I mean, were just monster punts, long and high. I mean, I'm talking 50-plus feet high. These things were just rocket ships. And it gave the there was no return. The ball came down and died. It forced Tewksbury to get into a long drive if they wanted to score. So Beverly's defense had a chance to make plays. No. He did shank one in the middle. In the fourth quarter, where they were about the 25-yard line, and they had a punt, and he punched it out at the 45 of Tewksbury, and I was like, okay, boy, that's when they really needed that one. But he came back with a subsequent punt and just labeled the thing.
Well, we're going to be talking to Coach Sigsbury, Bill Ricca, this evening in a little while, and Bill Ricca, Beverly's next opponent, has beaten teams such as, are you sitting down, Andover, Masconomet, Everett, and they did lose to Tewksbury.
Yes, so they did, and the Beverly kids are aware of that, but they also, you know, aware of what a tough team Bill Ricca is and what a tough team Tewksbury is. So they're taking all that into consideration. There's no easy games on that schedule. You know, Concord, Carlisle. Again, North Andover, Drake. And I mean, you're talking schools that traditionally have some really big teams, successful teams.
We're going to make connections, too, with Saugus coach Mike Broderick. It's been a while since we talked with Coach Broderick. The Sachems having a tough year, but finally got a win. Lost some tough games this season, and we'll talk about how his club is doing and prospects for the rest of the year and what's coming up. And we'll also make connections once again with Andover coach E.J. Perry, and I think you could say that they pulled off an upset as well over the weekend, beating the Prep.
Wow, you know, I was watching that score on the Twitter feed and following along, and it was 7-7. The Prep scored, and it looked like EJ had thrown a 78-yard pass to potentially tie the game up, and it came back on a sideline interference call, which you seldom ever see anywhere in high school, college, or the pros. And then the Prep used that, took that punt, the ensuing punt, and went down and scored again for, you know, a two-score lead. And EJ came back and four touchdown passes.
And the rest
of
history. Half,
and it's like, I'm watching it happen. I'm going, I didn't see the tie score because there were no feeds come up. And all of a sudden, you know, they got the lead. It's 35-28. And my eyes nearly popped out of my head. Because I'm sharing the scores back and forth with the other guys in the booth. And I'm like, check this out, you know, and it's like, oh my.
All of that coming up along with Nick Kukuru, we hope, here on MSO, newsports.com, North Shore Sports Night. We'll be back with our first interview coming right up.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back and talking now with Triton football coach Patrick Sheehan. And coach, it's been a few weeks since we talked to you last. A lot's gone on, but what a weekend you guys had!
Yeah, it was a good win for the program. Kids played real tough all three phases of the game against a really tough Bishop Fenwick team, who has a heck of a quarterback for a couple more years.
You know, certainly, Coach, you look at the score, 42-34, and it would seem to be last man standing with the ball would have an opportunity to win the game.
Yeah, it was back and forth. I mean, I think after they scored first, and then I think we popped two in and had the lead for the rest of the game. It was mostly a two-score game until the very end. They scored with about 30 seconds left, and we recovered the onside kick. But, you know, credit to the kids. They were resilient. You know, we had a tough end of the first half. They completed a Hail Mary with 9 seconds left, a 50-yard touchdown pass. And then first opening kickoff of the second half, we had a ball bounce off one of our return man's chest, and they recovered it. But, you know, and we were down 1 point, but the defense held them three and out, and then we got the ball back and went right down the field and scored to, you know, keep it a two-possession game.
Coach, going into that game, you know, you rebounded nicely against Swampscott. You had a little dip there at home. You know, tell me a little bit about the highlight of the season. What do you think, you know, if there's a turning point in the season or a point at which you said, okay, we can make a run now in the playoffs, because you secured that pretty early on.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Our two losses at home were against two really good teams. You know, North Reading, who just put a hurting on Danvers, as I saw in the scores, and then Masco, who gave Billerica a heck of a game. And Billerica, you know, they were steamrolling pretty much everyone they played. You know, but the game against Masco, we ended up losing 15-14 on two nights. But the kids, they played with such energy and such emotion you know, and they were just physical. You know, we didn't put our best game together against Swampscott, but again, they were physical and they played with energy and emotion, and we overcame, you know, some turnovers in that game. And then I think we put it all together against Bishop Fenwick. You know, we got to shore up some of our pass defense, but they put it all together. The special teams did a great job. Tony Lapham had a great day kicking the ball in the extra point game, and the kickoffs. The offense was. You know, a well-oiled machine. You know, the offensive line did a great job opening holes for Liam Spillane. Louis LaRue was very good in the passing game and in the run game, making his reads. It was just a good day. And defensively, we stuffed their run and made them one-dimensional. Unfortunately, that dimension was, you know, some deep balls that they completed. I think they completed 5 balls over 30 yards. But, you know, it was a real good team win.
Coach, pick out a lineman for me, please. You know, you again, the skill guys, offense and defense, they get all the ink. But tell me about some of your unsung guys down there in the trenches.
Sure, in the trenches, you know, first and foremost, John Falasca, senior captain, you know, playing left tackle and defensive tackle as well. He's been, you know, week in and week out, he's been one of our best players on both sides of the ball. Kenny Shute, his line mate at left guard, another senior captain. You know, we lost him for a few games early in the season, but he's come back and he's done a real nice job for us, playing mostly offense and spelling on defense and doing a really good job. And then we got Ryan Farrell, who's a junior. He's our center. He's one of the toughest kids I've ever coached. You know, he's a big kid and he plays big and he plays mean. And then Joe Dussault at right guard, a sophomore, is, you know, kind of fitting into his own on a veteran offensive line, and Jack McCarthy at right tackle. The offensive line, you know, has been great all season long. They work well together. They practice real hard, and they love what they do.
All right, what's the message this week at practice, Coach?
You know what? We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We got to get better. You know, one of the messages, we got a good team this week. I think Bishop Fenwick, you know, we did a nice job being physical with them and maybe got them off their game a little bit. But Watertown plays in a real tough, tough league, and they seem to be in the types of games that we just played against Bishop Fenwick every single week. So they're not, you know, they're going to keep coming and keep coming. They got a heck of a quarterback over there and a great fullback, you know, and Coach Kakachi does a phenomenal job over there, and they beat us a few years ago in our first playoff trip ever. You know, we're going to need to bring our best game of the season if we're going to beat those guys.
You know, Coach, reading the Salem News recount of the story, Coach Dave Woods of Fenwick had nothing but high praise for you and for your team. And he commented on the great schemes that you ran, being really tough to defend. And he said, you know, you plan on one thing, you see something, and then you guys would do something else. It was like a guessing game for the defense, trying to figure out how to match up their defense with what you were going to do offensively. And it just seems you guys got the better of them more often than not.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, it all starts like with those five guys up front, the offensive line. We can scheme all we want. We can, you know, put all the fun plays and the counter game and the reads for the quarterback all we want. But you know, there's been a couple games that, you know, the defense that we've been going against has owned the line of scrimmage, and you know, North Reading, for example, and they owned the line of scrimmage, and we weren't able to do anything. So, you know, the scheme's great, and you know, but still, guys got to block and tackle, and you know, it starts with those guys up front. But you know, Coach Woods, phenomenal coach. You know, he's been there and done that, and you know, him and I are pretty friendly. We play golf a couple times every summer, and it was kind of fun going against him.
Do you keep score?
Oh yeah, we keep score. I think we're 1-1 this past summer.
I haven't met a football coach yet who doesn't keep score on everything.
Absolutely.
You know it.
Absolutely.
Hey, geez. Patrick, listen, it's great. Appreciate it. We're going to follow you all the way, needless to say. Hope to talk to you after a win next weekend, and thanks for taking the time. Good luck this week, Coach.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for everything you do.
Thanks, Patrick.
Best of luck.
Patrick Sheehan, the Triton High School football coach, with their big win over Ipswich, and they head into the fire against Watertown.
Yeah, and you know, they begin the season early on, you know, they beat Peabody. You know, I mean, there's a great start to the season. I mean, they were just rolling along, and you know, Ipswich lost 28 to nothing to them, and all of a sudden, second half, Ipswich got on a roll. So there were, you know, they may have caught Ipswich at a great time, but said, I mean, they have just put up quality wins. You put up 24 on Everett, and we've seen how stingy they can be in the last part of the season, and what they can do to good teams. So this Triton team, you know, shouldn't be afraid to play anybody. As you know, Watertown is in deep into the playoffs. We know that. We've heard from several people about the quality of team that they are. But these guys go in and play confidently. You know, they can walk out of there with a W.
All right, we'll be right back.
Come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back live now with Bill Ricker, Coach Dwayne Sigsbury. Hi, Coach.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Listen, were you up here on the North Shore coaching at one time?
Manchester Wrestling basketball.
That's what I thought. I knew that. Miss you. I just missed you when you left. Well, anyway, listen, congratulations on a fantastic year that you put together. We'll talk about your playoff game in a minute here. But, Coach, tell us about the terrific season you guys have had so far.
I know. We have a great group of kids. You know, 3 years ago when I took over the program, we only had 42 kids in the program, and now we're over 100. And wow. We had some success last year, and it's carried over into this year. And we have a lot of kids in the community that are, really excited about football. So it's a good thing. And America's a great community, a great football town. So
looking at some of your wins, Coach, and the two that just pop off the schedule are, of course, you know, Andover and Everett. And I'm guessing along about that time, did you realize maybe that you could really go somewhere with these guys?
Yeah, you know, the kids, you know, they really bought into the program, and they've worked extremely hard, 7-on-7, and conditioning in the off season, and we knew coming into the staff that Rucker always had great athletes. It was just, you know, putting them together and getting them all in the same direction, and instilling some discipline, and it's kind of taken off from there. I knew that we had a chance to be a good football team, and I knew that we could compete with anybody that, you know, we were going to play. You know, it's just a matter of staying healthy and doing all the little things.
Coach, have you seen the film of the Beverly-Tewksbury game?
I was there. I was at the game.
Oh, you were at the game. Okay. I was going to ask that first. I figured maybe he was a bit busy. But Your thoughts as that game unfolded?
I knew it was going to be. I could tell in the beginning of the game that physically Beverly was going to be able to hang with Tewksbury, and my assistant coach and I said it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. We actually thought it was going to be like 17-14, 14-10, but it was 9-8. But they left some points on the field. Both teams, they're both good teams, and that was a great high school football game.
Yeah, I compared it to a heavyweight match where they went to the middle of the ring and they just slugged it out.
Exactly. Yeah, they just had each other.
Yeah, it really was. There was no give and take on either team, and it was as physical a game as it was. It was a very well played game. There weren't a whole lot of penalties. There weren't any stupid penalties, because in a game like that, the emotions can run so high because it's such a tension filled atmosphere.
Exactly. No, definitely, and that's the thing that we talk to our kids all the time about is we're here to play physical, we're here to play enthusiastic, but we're here to play within the rules of the game and not get any self-inflicted wounds.
Coach.
Don't get any penalties and do something that's going to hurt the team.
Have you had a chance to watch your own game against Masco?
We watched it the next morning.
All right, so what did you see anything there that popped out at you after, that you might not have absolutely recognized during the game? Anything that jumped out at you? And I'm thinking in particular line play, because I would imagine that's kind of hard to see on the sideline sometimes.
Yeah, Masco's a big physical team. They're really big up front, and they have some good linebackers, and they're athletic in their secondary, and like I've told the kids all year long, and how we go about things. We worry about us. We don't worry about the other team, and we worry about us and what we do well, and being focused on what we do and taking care of what we need to take care of, not about what anyone else is doing. And they're just pretty focused. Just being focused on your opponent. And Masco did a great job in the first half. They threw the ball extremely well. We mixed up messed up a few coverages in the first half that allowed them to sneak a couple touchdowns in there. And then at halftime, we made a few adjustments and really just took off from there. In the second half, we were definitely the much better team, and we took over, and our senior leadership put us over the top. But Masco was a great team. Gavin Monaco's done a great job, mm-hmm. and they were worthy of being in that game for sure.
Well, Tim and Marty Smith are going to be broadcasting your game, this Friday. And Coach, maybe you could mention a few of the kids. You mentioned some of the leadership that you have. Give us a few names that the listeners down here in the Northeastern Conference will be listening for.
I think they'll hear a lot of Derek Laundrie, Dean Brooks, Herbie Pierre, Scott Murphy, Ryan and Pat Quinn. They'll hear a lot of names of those type of guys, the running backs and some of the wide receivers that we have, and Gus Gobiel and Jake Collison. And what's really impressive about the game is both teams have Division I kickers. You don't see that in high school football too much. We have a punter and a kicker that is very good, and they do as well. And that's a part of the game that special teams is a third of the game that you have to win in order to move on in championship games.
How are you guys doing on extra points? Because boy, it's very troubling for some schools.
Yeah, we're very good. We haven't missed one all year.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And what about discipline, Coach? Penalties and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're not. We're a physical team. Blue collar community, but the kids understand that what the harm of a costly penalty can do. And we haven't had any personal fouls or anything like that. We've had them offsides, but we haven't done anything that. It's really hurting us all year long. But, like you said before, kids are kids and sometimes they make mistakes, but for the most part, our guys are pretty focused and well-behaved.
With that kind of control over your penalty situation, has Bill Belichick called you and asked you what you do that he can add into his own scheme?
No, but I actually read all of his books and study him a lot. I emulate him as much as I can. And I also had, and when I played in high school, I had Tom Kaszczak as my head coach. I coached with Rocky Nelson. I played for Billy Carroll and Pete Moscarello in Reading. And I've been blessed being able to learn from great mentors like that absolutely have given me knowledge and enthusiasm and confidence in myself to be a head coach, and I'm forever in debt to them.
I think all coaches look back to the coaches that they played for, and that was so influential. I know in my own baseball coaching career, and even some of the strategies that I use, I look back to my high school basketball coach, Jim Daugherty at Dom Savio, some of the baseball coaches that I had growing up, my baseball mentor, whose baseball clinic I attended for years, and I teach how they taught because it was so fundamentally sound and correct. And those are the things you just don't forget. As a football coach, as a baseball coach, and you need to pass those things along.
Absolutely.
Well, Coach, how about your assistant coaches? I'm sure you got a guy or two that you could mention who are helping you out.
Yeah, I have actually. I'm blessed with the staff that we'll put together. I have Kevin Gilday, was the head football coach at Belmont High School. He's our offensive line coach, and he's an unbelievable coach, but more important, he's an unbelievable human being. Alvin Reynolds was a 38-year NFL coach. He coached with the Ravens and the Baltimore and the Atlanta Falcons and over the NFL Europe when it was going, and also in Canada. He's our defensive coordinator, and he is a very, very talented man and is a great role model for our kids. Marvin Wright is our defensive line coach, is a full scholarship player at UNH. Joe Miller, who played for me at Woburn High School, is an unbelievable running backs coach and just does a great job with our linebackers. And Clyde Caramont, Pat Amendolia, Billy Waters, Sean Cohen, my first captain at Barica. He's going to UMass Lowell. He's back coaching with us. And we just have absolutely a special staff that works extremely hard and does all the little things that need to be done. They take care of it.
So when these guys speak, the kids do listen.
Oh, they are very attentive when those guys listen.
Absolutely.
You should see the size of some of them. So they're
yeah, I think I've seen your size, Coach. I get it. I understand.
Exactly. You know how it goes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Look at this guy.
Dwayne, when you get a chance, I know that you're busy this week and you don't want to give away the farm, but please email me your starters on offense and defense.
Absolutely.
So I can get it to the play-by-play guys, so we can identify
Absolutely.
The kids.
But
anything else you want to mention about Bill Ricca? Because it sounds like you're having a great time up there.
Yeah, no, I'm having a great time. I teach at the high school physical education, well, actually wellness, to be politically correct. I teach wellness, and we have a great time. One of my assistant coaches is a co-teacher with me, and I have an unbelievable administration that support all of the athletics, but have been great to me since I've been there. Our principal, Tom Murphy, athletic director, Dave Lazinski, our superintendent, Tim Pavlova, just absolutely unbelievable. School committee members,
You're not going to list all those, are you, Coach?
I can't get that far.
All right.
Right now, they're just awesome. They're at all the games, and they support us, and it's a special place to be to coach football, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like an exciting time up there, and an advantage being in the building as well, I presume.
Oh, absolutely. I'm with the kids all the time, and, when we're in school, we're students, and when we walk through the goalpost, we're student-athletes.
So there you go.
They understand the importance that, their family comes first, school comes second, and football comes third, and as long as we do that, we're going to be all right.
How long have you been coaching overall, Coach?
I think as a head football coach, the year I got out of high school, I started coaching, so I was 19. I was a freshman football coach with John Fiore at Reading, and so I've been coaching since 93 till now, and been a head football coach, I think, this is my seventh year as a head coach.
All right.
Wait, did you have the fingers going, Coach, doing the imaginary adding and subtracting?
Dude, I was counting the years of cathedral and then the years of...
I could envision it going, okay.
I know, everything.
Oh, yeah, I was counting. My thumb didn't move too well, though. I was doing it.
There you go.
My thumb didn't move.
Well, it doesn't matter because you got everything else under control. Dwayne, thank you so much, man, for taking the time out, and I hope we can talk to you later on, and best of luck this week.
All right, thank you guys very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach Dwayne Sigsbury of Billerica High School, and I knew he was the guy who was down here at Manchester. I knew that. But, geez, what a roll they're on.
Yes, they are. And
they've got Beverly on Friday night, broadcast game, you know, here on MSO.
One of the things that I found so impressive towards the end, he was talking about the overall support, not only of the teachers, the faculty, but the administration as well, that, you know, these people are showing up at the game en masse. And to me, that is such an important part, and I wish more schools and their administrators and other city officials would buy into, and not just football, but more of the athletic events and the school events, and go there and show their faces and show the kids, you know, even if they're, especially if they're not parents, because parents support them anyway, but if you're not a parent, that you're responsible for the success of these programs at the school, and to show there and be supportive of the kids and let them know that they value what they're doing in representing the school, in representing the community. That to me is such a vital part of it.
Seconded. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sock Asian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sock Asian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SockAsianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sock Asian Sportswear is the place to go.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we expect to be making contact with Saugus football coach Mike Broderick here pretty soon. Saugus winning on Friday night by beating Arlington Catholic, I believe it was, 29-14. And we haven't talked with Coach Broderick in a while. But again, this weekend, we got a couple of games coming up on Friday night. Now, we're set to broadcast the Billerica-Beverly game from Billerica. We are set to do that one, although you're going to have to walk 10 miles with the gear, I understand, to get from the parking lot to the press box.
Oh, it's another Lincoln Sudbury deal?
Yeah, further, I guess.
No.
Further, so.
You're not serious.
Hey, listen, you know. Anyway, I'm just, don't shoot the message. That's what Marty told me.
They don't offer shuttle?
That's what Marty told me. Marty Smith and Tim Kearns will be on Channel A with Beverly at Billerica. Now, Paul Ingram and Andrew Nicastro and I are going to be, listen to this now, we're going to be at Marblehead on Friday night. We are not allowed to do live streaming video. So we're going to record the video, and we'll get that up there on Saturday. We'll have the live recording, I guess is how you'd put it. We'll have that on Saturday. We're trying to find a way to broadcast live on Channel B. There's no press box. There's no electricity. And, you know, we're trying to get enough battery power here that we can broadcast the game live. So we're going to do our best. At the bare minimum, we will have updates, of course, on Channel A with your game, Tim, and also we'll be tweeting out the score as well. So we're going to give it our best shot. Those are the remaining playoff games for us that we'll be covering on Friday night. We're not scheduled to do any playoff games on Saturday. In fact, I don't even see any playoff games on Saturday. The only Saturday games are non-playoff games. We're not scheduled to do those. Gloucester, of course, being knocked out, they will be playing Wakefield. That should be a terrific game. But we feel compelled to cover the playoff games as far as we can. So, again, we'll be covering Marblehead hosting, was it North Reading? I've got to get that right now. Yeah, North Reading at Marblehead. We'll have that one in one way or another, either live audio or reports over on Channel A. And we will record the video of the game and get that posted on the next day. And we will have live on Channel A, it will be Beverly at Billerica. What are you looking for?
I had a ding. I don't know if it's something relative to us, so I just need
to check. Oh, okay. I thought you were leaving me. I thought it was something I said.
You haven't aggravated me that much.
Thought it was something I said. Okay. Now, I believe Nick Kukru is covering soccer tonight, and we hope to talk with Nick in a little while. I had a call out to Jeff Hutton as Manchester Essex won their second straight. I believe they've won three of four now as Manchester Essex football won over Madison Park 33-6. And, of course, we mentioned the Gloucester girls. And I have to mention, I'll be talking with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli this week for Fisherman Forecast. And it was interesting when we interviewed Coach Rudloff after the game, the first thing he talked about, and it's Nick did a good job with that tonight too. We've got the video up there from on Friday night. The first thing Coach Rudloff talked about was the heart and courage of Gloucester and toughness of Gloucester High School football, especially in the fourth quarter. At one point, Gloucester was down 34-6, and they scored three of the next four touchdowns late in the third and in the fourth quarter with onside kicks and just continuing to pound away. And he said it was a good test for his kids. And two Gloucester starters were really fighting through pain, stayed in the game, and was able to make contributions toward the touchdowns. But Marblehead, an extremely talented team, obviously well coached, and you know, they are standing tall, and they've got one more game to go. So we'll be there, as I said. We'll be covering the game somehow, and with all with some good fortune, we'll be able to do it live. We'll bring the computer up in the stand somehow, and I won't be able to keep stats and all that stuff, but at least we'll be able to get the game on the air. Okay, so that's it from here. We need to take a break, and then we'll come back with Andover football. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Andover football coach E.J. Perry, as they beat the Prep over the weekend in a really tremendous comeback, their second in a row in the playoffs, and we'll talk to Coach Perry all about that. We'll be back.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off-the-boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today.
All right, we're dialing up another number here. Didn't make connections with Coach Perry either. So hopefully we will as the evening goes on here. Meanwhile, we're going to call Nick Kukrul. Let's see if we get a hold of him. He's the Gloucester Times sports editor on the road tonight, and we'll see if we can make connections. Who used to do that, make calls like that live on the air?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much, buddy.
Hey, Nick, we're live. Where are you?
Nice. I am at Highland Field overtime, just starting up in between Manchester Essex and Austin Prep.
All right. So, I know you got to keep your eye on that and keep scoring, so on. So, give us.
It's soccer. It's downtime.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I don't know if Tim is. Well, give us a little summary, Nick. Tell us about the Manchester Essex team and what they're doing tonight.
Yeah, they're the one seed, 15-1-3. They actually scored first in the 49th minute. Austin Prep come back really on its only big chance of the night on a corner kick. Tied it up with in the 56th minute. That was just a bit of a close call right there, but shot went just wide. But it's been an excellent game. Very evenly played. Teams are kind of canceling each other out. A lot of kicking around the midfield. They're both pretty evenly matched.
Well, you tend to get that with good teams, Nick. You know that are very strong defensively. That you know they back check really really effectively and really can usually blunt the other team's offensive floor. So you get a lot of midfield play.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Manchester really likes to possess the ball, and it looks like Austin Prep does too. So they're kind of just really just canceling each other's skill sets out. It's been pretty interesting. There hasn't been a ton of scoring chances, to be honest with you, but it's been very well played. Both teams, you can see why they're both quarterfinalists.
Nick, you and I were at the game the other night, the Gloucester game against Marblehead, and Marblehead obviously with tremendous talent and way more depth than Gloucester has, but obviously a terrific performance by Gloucester nonetheless. What were your thoughts, when Coach Rudloff, when we were down there after the game, post-game comments, first thing out of his mouth, he just praised Gloucester. What were you thinking? How'd you react to that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he made some good points. I mean, Gloucester is, typical. They're not going to quit. They played four quarters, and I think he was grateful from that. You know, he was grateful that they had a big lead. He was also grateful that Gloucester kind of kept coming at him and showed him, all right, we can't let up. We have to, play against these guys, everybody, for four quarters. And that, I think he realized that'll help him in the long run. And, I have to agree. I mean, Gloucester was dragging, really hurt. Ryan Gabriel, Carlos Hernandez looked like they had some pretty significant injuries and just gutted it out. They just gutted it out and still made blocks. I mean, Christian St. Felipe had 200 yards rushing. They didn't exactly contain him. But, Marblehead, just too many weapons all over the field, everywhere you look.
You and I, we got to get together in these stats because I was 4 yards under what you had. So we'll go with yours.
That means we're pretty close. It's a 4-yard difference.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
You know, Nick, for Christian, his fifth 200-yard rushing game, he accomplished in five games what some guys accomplish over a couple of seasons, sometimes three seasons.
Yeah, exactly. He went over 3,000 yards for his career as well on Friday, which, I mean, he's about 500 yards ahead of the next highest rush total in school history, just to put that in perspective, what he's done. I mean, he's just a workhorse, and he showed it again.
you know, and you mentioned in your article today that, you know, by the time he's done, he's got two more games, and he has the potential to put up another 300 to 400 yards onto that record.
Yeah,
he could potentially 900 yards between him and Connor Russell.
Yeah, he's got 408 yards to go to break a single season record, and I mean, most people would say, oh, that's a tall task with him. That's about what he's been averaging the last 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, that's the crazy part, and he's so unassuming, but he's such an intense individual on the field and off the field. In the classroom, he was just, you know, just needed to succeed. He wanted to see. He was driven to succeed, and you see that transferring onto the football field. That, wait a minute, there's another 6 inches I can get. I'm going to go get it.
Yeah, exactly. I get that impression just from, you know, from interviewing him. You can tell he takes what he does very seriously, and that, you know, he puts everything he has into it. And that's really all you can ask. And you combine that type of attitude with the talent he has, and that's what you get. You get 3,000 yards rushing for your career.
Talking with Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times Sports Editor over at Highland Field, where it's a tie game between Manchester Essex and who they playing?
Austin Prep.
Austin Prep in soccer, and Austin Prep.
Is there any score, Nick, or is it nil-nil?
It's 1-1.
1-1, okay.
Nick, Cole
Hay was the goal scorer for Manchester Essex. He's an absolute stud striker for the Hornets. He's got over 20 goals this year, and he had another nice one tonight. So it's been a good game, back and forth.
Now let's see him get another one in there. Nick, my final thought is about the other big story, in the tournament from Cape Ann, and that's the Gloucester girls field hockey team.
Yeah, what an upset. What a performance from Gloucester on Friday. I mean, they were under constant pressure, just an onslaught from Manchester Essex. I mean, who averages about 4.5 goals a game. Gloucester held them to one and won 2-1 on, you know, scored twice on four shots. It was just, I mean, you know, you talk about a full team effort, needing everyone to step up and play almost perfectly, and that's exactly what they did, and that's what it took to knock off the 18-0, you know, Cape Ann League champions, not just the Cape Ann League Baker champions, but the outright Cape Ann League champions. They rolled all the teams in the Cal Lodge as well. So, I mean, it was that was as good of a game as you'll see in any sport. I mean, come right down to the last, you know, no time on the clock, Manchester Essex gets one final corner chance and put all 11 players on the offensive side of the field, and Gloucester was able to hold them off. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, certainly Lauren Riley has done just a superb job since he's taken over the program, a program that was well established under Kim Patience. But I had a chance to talk to Rachel Alexander, the NEC Most Valuable Player this year, and that in a way that is an advantage for Gloucester going in, because everybody knows who she is and what she's accomplished and what a fierce competitor she is, and that has to, when she's, you know, rushing up the middle and everybody just knows what she can do, that really opens up some scoring opportunities for Taylor Abbott and for Marissa Ennis as well.
Yeah, and what she does so unbelievable. You look at her running up and down the field with her speed, but she also has that quick first step inside of the box where, you know, you'll see plays where, you know, she's smothered. There's three girls around her. What's she going to do? And she'll just take this quick, you know, step one way, and she'll get some room to rip a shot off. It's unbelievable to watch. And I mean, and the Gloucester defense is just incredible. Like you said, led by Marissa Enos, Jenna Taramina in goal at 14 saves the other day. She was unbelievable. I mean, they're great in every way of the field. And of course, Sam Carbonelli is as good as it gets in the midfield. She's not one of their scorers, but I mean, you watch that game, she dominates in the midfield. She does everything for them.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You know, in a way, you have to have role players who excel in a particular role and don't not necessarily try to play beyond the scope of what their position requires them to do.
Exactly. I mean, there's been games, you know, where, I mean, Carmonelli, she doesn't even need to, you know, have a score chance, and she's the best player on the field. Yeah, that's how apparent she is. She dominates. She's really, you know, she plays a two-way game. She's great in transition. She's a great passer. She gets the ball to those offensive players, and I mean, it's just, you know, everything she does, you know, helps them out. They're an unbelievable team. They got a good one coming up. It should be a pretty evenly matched game against Ipswich on Thursday night in Reading. Ipswich is 16-2, and its only two losses come to Manchester Essex. So
that should be a really good game.
All right, full disclosure again, Sam Cominelli is my niece and my godchild. We have to always mention that when we talk about Sam.
And Nick, you would have been in deep you-know-what if you hadn't mentioned
that's
Sam.
That's right, that's
because
right.
He had the hand raised waiting.
Yeah, I was waiting.
To mention her name.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Nick, very quickly, Manchester Essex football. I tried to get a hold of Jeff Hutton, but they're back on the map. That was good to see, and I got one more question after that.
Yeah, they dominated Madison Park on Saturday night, and then they host Lynn Tech on Friday.
Good. All right, we got to go, Nick. I'm not going to be able to ask that last question, but we'll talk to you later on, and we'll get back to you for a wrap up on all this stuff.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, we're back now with Andover football coach E.J. Perry. And, Coach, man, 2 weeks in a row, incredible games. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're just flying high. And again, like I told you last week, I told the kids they really only could take 24 hours to enjoy it. And now we were back to work, and that's where I'm coming from. We actually moved our practice, so we'll be under the lights. And now we're playing in the day, so we're going to move it up again tomorrow. But today we went under the lights, so it was a good experience.
I just had a question.
All right, well, you'll get it back. All right, what's the highlight from the other night, from Saturday, EJ?
There was, like, so many highlights. But, you know, the last drive was incredible. And, you know, there was 2 minutes left when they scored, I think, actually 159. And, you know, we had fought so hard. We were up 28-21, and they scored to make it 28-28. But when I saw EJ run off, because we don't play him on the conversion, he just put his hands down to calm the whole sideline, and then he just said, "Don't worry, everything's all right." And then literally 40 seconds later, we had a four-play drive. We went 83 yards. 68 of it was on his run, and the last pass was incredible. Cedric made a great catch, but he put it on the money, and it was just an exhilarating feeling. So that was probably the best highlight of the day.
You know, Coach, with the score the way it went, with the prep going up 21-7 after you had a touchdown called back going into the halftime, and then coming out and having that massive swing, we outscore them, you know, 4 touchdowns to 1 touchdown. What was the ride home like? Because that had to be a game where it just took a physical and emotional toll on the kids having to complete that kind of a comeback. Because I talked to Mark Thomas, one of the Beverly coaches, and I asked him yesterday morning when I ran into him, what was the ride back like? And he said, "Coach," he said, "it was quiet." He said the kids were so exhausted from the game, it was like almost like a church. Everything was then internalized inside.
Yeah, and tell Mark congratulations. That was an unbelievable game too. But our ride was similar, except my Jason Lynn actually he's one of the, we have like four guys that play both ways, and he actually dehydrated, and so I had to stop at the Shop and Stop in North Andover, and I got bottles of water for everybody. But like you said, coming back from Lexington, everyone was nuts and singing, and they were doing their little songs in the back of the bus. And then this one, like you said, they were exhausted. They were happy, but they were exhausted. And then, like I said, we stopped to hydrate him and make sure that he was all right, because he was just spent. And it's hard to change up for us playing on a Saturday. We played every other game on a Friday.
You know, it sounds like the kids are focused too, EJ, and that they've got a purpose. You know, you see all these celebrations in the major leagues when somebody wins a game or makes a tackle, but they haven't won anything. And it sounds like the kids are feeling. They really have to pay attention, and they can do well.
Yeah, I mean, the bus ride over was similar. It was eerily quiet for us. We usually have some ties, and you could tell that the tension was there, but it was a good tension. You sort of know when it's a good and bad tension. It was a good tension, and then they were paying attention to everything, and then just turn the game. I mean, you talk about the halftime. We had really played outstanding football. Like you said, we had a long touchdown callback. We actually had another touchdown callback on a hold, so we had two touchdown callbacks. And that's just what I told the guys. I'm like, guys, you outplayed them. Now outscore them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, don't.
That's important.
Don't get, because it was, at that time, there was some, like, frustration, and I just had to keep them up and keep them, again, like you said, I had to keep them focused. And now, tonight, they were razor sharp. They're completely focused. They know the task at hand, and they're going to do their best to get it done.
Coach, is one of the strategies that you employ, and I kind of get the sense you do by the way that, you know, they ride to the game, that there's a quietness, that there's an inner focus. Do you get into visualization, is see the game playing out in front of you and what your assignment is and how you're going to exploit it? And if there's a situation, how are you going to simply react to it? So in the game, they're not thinking, it is simply that reaction because they know what it is they have to do?
Yeah, we do that twofold, really. So all week we do the beginning of practice, or the beginning of the offensive session in practice, is always complete focus on a script. And that script we're going to use, you know, almost verbatim for the first 10 plays until we see what the opponent wants to do. And then on the bus ride over, yeah, I compare it. I'm always like, guys, this is a road trip. This is a business trip. We're on a business trip. So I said, just like businessmen, when they go in and they rehearse what they're going to say when they're making a sale, you got to rehearse in your mind what you're going to do on each and every play. And I tell them, especially those first 10 plays, because they basically know what those are. And, you know, we drove right down the field the first 10 plays, and then, you know, we were on the 7, and we got the hold, and then we missed the field goal. So it worked to an extent. We just got to finish, and that was, again, what we said. The other thing that we did all week that surprised them, we went 5 wide like 85% of the time. And that worked twofold. The kid Travellini, who was our slot back, usually our B back, he caught 7 balls for 80 yards. And
wow.
It was forcing EJ to do pre-snap reads and get the ball out quick. So, and then it just surprised them, and they decided to rush 6 on a lot and go man-to-man coverage, and it's hard to cover our guys man-to-man.
Travellini, that's an East Boston name.
Yeah, it is. He's actually a Burlington kid. His family's big wrestlers, and he's a great kid, though. And he's tiny. He's 5'7", 145, and he had a great game.
Excellent. Well, the Travellinis that I played ball with at Dom Savio, they were all below 6 feet two.
Yeah, so they're probably related somehow. He's a great kid, and they're from a real athletic family, so it's good.
Coach, there's so much to talk about. I'm going to make it an appointment to come up there. When the season's over, we're going to sit down, hopefully, with you and EJ, and maybe do an hour show up there, because there's so many highlights I want to ask you guys about. But obviously, getting familiar with your opponent this week, it looked like Everett maybe had a little bit of a stumbling coming out of the gate, but they're playing pretty well now.
Well, I've seen them at Haverhill, and I saw them at Burlington against Central. The one thing I came out of Haverhill is I said, exactly what you're saying, this team is completely different from the first 3 games of the year. And the other thing both of you guys talk about focus. They were totally focused. I happened to see them get off the bus at Haverhill, and they were completely focused on the job that they had to do. And really, in both games, it was essentially over at half. I mean, Central played them a little tougher, but it was basically over at half, and they were just, they were on a mission. So I told our guys, we got to match that intensity, and we got to go at it just like that.
Well, and they're so strong. I was going to ask you for a scouting report, but it's just the same thing year in and year out, isn't it?
Yeah, just about. There is a couple, you know, their defense is athletic kids who really can play man-to-man and play the corners. Offensively, their running backs are solid. Obviously, McAfee, you know, and and everybody's always calling me now, like, oh, it's McAfee against DJ. It's you know, UConn versus BC, and I'm always like, it's Andover versus Everett. And that's it. I mean, you know, it's not that they're not playing one on one basketball. So I say that both those kids are impactful, but McAfee's impressed me a lot at quarterback, and he's done a nice job.
That's like the iced tea. No, it's lemonade. That's right. It's
yeah, exactly. It's, yeah. But it's going good.
Coach, it don't get any bigger than this. And nothing but congratulations and best of luck to you this week and all the boys up there, the Golden Warriors.
Yeah, we're excited. And don't be afraid. We don't mind coming down there for an hour. And like you say, because we usually have that spot where we can meet beforehand.
Okay.
And, maybe have dinner, and then we'll shoot over, EJ and I, and we'll talk to you for an hour.
We're going to do it.
You know, Coach, you actually don't have to cross the bridge to get the Rick House.
That's right. The bridge in Gloucester, yeah.
I don't mind that at all. You know, it'll be a good time.
All right. Coach, thanks so much, man. Keep it going. Good luck this week.
Thanks, and we're going to give it our best. And, again, what you do for high school football is awesome, so keep it up.
Thanks, Coach. Take care.
Thanks, Coach. Best of luck.
Thank you.
E.J. Perry, the Andover football coach, and I go back to a few years ago, and when we first, I don't know if you remember that, Tim, but he wouldn't talk to us because he knows, or he knew, found out that, you know, I'm a co-worker with Paul Ingram. I've known Paul for over 40 years. We've worked together for so many years, and, you know, good friends, families are good friends, and E.J. knew that, and I think he thought I was trying to get some spies or something, and he would not talk to me except in a very, very short, cold way.
Well, I see the check that Paul wrote out to you hanging up on the wall, yeah.
And, yeah, okay. And we all know the integrity of Mr. Ingram.
And we all know how he hates the pot with a check.
Well, that too. That he's not Larry Bird-esque, but pretty close. But I really value Coach Perry's friendship and, you know, being able to talk with him all these years. Andover's obviously a little outside of our Northeast Conference Cape Ann League coverage, but they're still on the North Shore, and we love talking to the Andover folk, and I love going up there to those games. I remember one in the rain, it was spectacular, and year in and year out, another example of quality, high-quality Division I type football.
Was it not the Andover game we did where the quarterback had been hurt and he came the previous week and he came out to play? Was that not the Andover?
That might have been North Andover.
Okay,
because we've done both.
Yeah,
but we did the Gloucester Andover game are the games that we did, and that's how I met Coach Perry. And oh goodness gracious, 6, 7, 8 years ago now. So
really, it's 804.
What's that?
It's 804.
Yeah, and. That's it. I mean, we miss Coach Broderick. We'll see if we can get a hold of him next week and keep this thing going. But in the meantime, don't forget we have one game short up on Friday night. It is Beverly at Billerica.
Sure you don't want to go to Billerica?
Say again?
Sure you don't want to go to Billerica?
I'll go anywhere. but you and Marty know Beverly, and I've been doing the Marblehead games, so as you have too. So Paul and I will be at Marblehead, and somehow, some way, we're going to get a broadcast out on Channel B. And we will have the video the next day. MIAA rights go to a certain company. I forget who they are. They have the live streaming rights, and they allow us to rebroadcast later on, which we'll do. Okay? So next Monday night should be exciting as well.
Yeah, you know.
And we'll be getting ready for winter sports soon. Thanksgiving coming up. Yeah. Lordy mercy.
Yeah, I want to wish the fans the best of luck. I'll be talking to... Coach Morency on Wednesday, maybe even tomorrow, but definitely
also the Johnny Jones interview, that was cool.
Oh, thank you.
That was really cool.
Thank you.
Nice to see a defensive and they looked like a really enthusiastic, happy young man.
Oh yeah, and you know, and he come out
Beverly defense
in the game on Saturday, and again he had another big game. I'll tell you, Callis, on the second possession of for. Off at Tewksbury, he hit the running back coming out with such a thud. We heard it up in the press box, and we were at the crooked 50-yard line, and
yeah,
he ended up at about 25-yard line.
The lines are like worms.
Oh my god, 50-yard line was absolutely. I mean, if you were going right to left,
you can get a first down on one side and not get the first down on the other.
You actually, if you were in the middle of the field, you actually had to go basically almost 51 yards
to get the first.
To get to the 50. And on the other side, you only had to go to the 49.
Right in the middle there. But on the sides, you still did it to the 50.
Yeah, and everybody who sat down went, oh, my God.
Okay. All right. Thanks to all the coaches. Thanks to all the ADs. It has been a tremendously fun football season to this point. And thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. We'll see you next Monday night.
Yeah, I should be here.
Okay.
Oh, maybe not.
We'll talk. All right, Tom, that's Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky, and, of course, Bill Newell, always on hand with us, and we appreciate it. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Good night.